The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. God is calling entrepreneurs to say, yes, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to steward this to the best of my ability because I know that you have a plan for your creation because you're just like you drew me closer to your heart. That's what you want to do with the other people that I do business with or to whom I provide a service.
Hello, I'm David Mills. Welcome to Still Processing, a part of the Founders Table. I'm wired to touch the world like Jesus as someone who is apostolic and evangelistic. That means I'm passionate about getting people on mission and helping them take new steps toward Him. I love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside of church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to display Jesus to the world as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. These Still Processing episodes are designed to help you continue chewing on the ideas, truths, stories, and conversations you had during your weekly foundation session. In a world where answers are a Google search away, we recognize that time spent in community and time spent with Jesus brings about deeper, more meaningful revelation. So, let's dive in and process together. Hey, Maritza, Giovanni, thank you so much for joining us for this Still Processing episode. We are talking about the co-creation invitation. We're just 2 weeks into our time together, and we're going to work through what we're processing. We have heard probably this idea that God is the owner and we're the stewards, and that's a pretty common concept, especially if you've been in church for any amount of time. And so part of this conversation is what we're processing as stewards, but also how are we processing the practicality of that? And what does it look like to co-create with God, to actually have some ideas and have God let us do some fun, weird things that we might fail at and all the complexities of it. So does anyone have anything they're processing so far from the conversation?
The co-creating with God, It's something that honestly is a new concept, even though I grew up in the church and I know all about what the word says. But translating that into owning your own business and then putting it into practice, I think sometimes that's a bigger leap than like, there's so much I know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I do it.
Yes. Mm. I have this relatively new saying, which is around, I think all of life is integration. I think all of life is just figuring out how to integrate things you know you're supposed to be doing. Really quick, before we dive more into the processing, I would love for you each, if you could just introduce yourselves and talk about, you know, kind of what's the core of your entrepreneurial heart.
That's a fantastic question. I'm going to go ahead and start because without me, Maritza doesn't have her last name right now. When we decided to hop on this podcast, it created a unique moment to do a lot of introspection and realize, okay, I haven't always been an entrepreneur, but an entrepreneurial spirit is in me. And I know that that comes from God. God is a creator. God built an entire world. He simplified things and said, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion, all the stuff that we've learned over time, if you've ever been in church. And for me, at least, I would say I've had a mixed experience when Maritza and I first started working together as husband and wife. We started an agency out of necessity, right? At the time, I think two significant points in our lives as a husband and wife, we have faced layoffs. We have faced these turning point moments that have ushered in two very different seasons in our lives. The first time we did this together, it was born out of necessity. Maritza had lost her job. She was at the time, she was the main breadwinner in our family. And for her to lose that right around the time we had a child, it was very tough. So When we decided we're going to start something new, it was really leaning into not just necessity, but what are the skill sets that God has put in each one of us? So understanding that God has created us, yes, to reflect his image and his likeness, but he's also deposited in us some very unique gifts. And over time, what both Maritza and I have discovered is our gifts don't always necessarily align the best when we're working together. So currently, we operate our two different, there's a lot of similarities, but there's unique differences in both she and I that equip us to handle different parts of what is involved with marketing, branding, and in my case, having most recently had a lot of experience within social media marketing.
Awesome. How about you, Maritza?
So my newest entrepreneur venture is with a business partner who perfectly complements me. She is what I am not. Whatever I am not, she is. We both have a very similar work ethic, and we share core values, but our personalities, our approaches, the way that my brain is wired, all of that stuff is very different. And being a business owner versus a freelancer or a self-employed has been very different this time around. Running payroll, having contractors, having a larger group of accounts, having steady, repeatable income, those have all been a different way of running this business. So I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of work, but I've never shied away from that. And entrepreneurship has always been something that I've operated, whether within a corporation as an employee or just doing things on my own and giving. I think Dave has said this in the past, but like, we're just charged. Like, we just go. We just do things. I don't require reminders. I don't necessarily require external motivation. It's very intrinsic. On the contrary, I have to be careful because I rely so much on myself. And as a business owner, you have to learn how to delegate. You have to learn how to rely on other people, which I have a very hard time doing, including God. Going back to the co-creating with God.
Yeah.
Which sounds silly as I say it out loud.
Yeah, that's a great insight. What you're saying about this, like, we are wired to do things. We're wired to get things done. We're wired to take the hill, make it happen. And so we have this shift in the idea that we would do this with God. I was doing some thinking about this. I realized that we were listening to John Eldridge talk about how people have been discipled by the internet. So we expect instant answers. We expect things to be delivered to us right away. But now I think we're being discipled by AI. And what it's doing to us is it's discipling us to do it alone. Because now I don't need to talk to anybody. I can just say, hey, ChatGPT, write this for me. Whereas always before, I've had to cooperate with people and I can't do everything alone. So I do think there's this isolating trend in our culture to isolate us more and more and more. And so for God to come show up and say, okay, I'm really interested in your daily work. I'm interested in what you're doing right now. I want to do this with you. That's like a big shift, you know? And it's a really different way of thinking.
That's such an interesting thing that you say that. The isolating trend, which we're seeing it, particularly how it's affecting mental health, and it's the epidemic of our modern life. But it's also because we've supplemented the hard social community aspects of humans with the instant gratification of our phones and the world that it opens up to us. And now even faster, more curated, more custom with AI.
I would also add that that's a great point that Maritza brings up with the phones. A unique challenge that just sprung into my head was, what if we turn to God as often as we do to our phones throughout our day, like for answers, right? To Dave's point about just being more isolated and not having to depend on people because AI is doing it all for us, I think in this age, it really requires us to be even more intentional about seeking God's face, right? Seeking his voice. And that the hardest part is when he speaks, doing what he says. For me, part of what I find helpful, it's a little bit crazy, but where we've been planted in Fredericksburg, Virginia, my son and I, we are avid disc golfers, and we happen to live 7 minutes away from a course that is just pristine. It's beautiful. It nestled into God's creation, and every morning, I hate running, but I somehow enjoy running on a disc golf course and working on two things at once. And every morning before I throw my very first throw, I say, "Hello, God, what have you got for me? What are you going to speak to me today through as I run?" And sometimes it's very clear what he says. And in light of our conversation today, the biggest thing is acknowledging, what are the gifts that he's given me? What are the people that he's surrounded me with? Why has he positioned our family in this region and in this season, right? It makes a difference. So I'm excited to see what God is doing through not just the Maritza's business or the things that I get involved in, but really, what is he calling his body to do right now? For those who are entrepreneurial in spirit, maybe they've started a business or are thinking of starting a business or are ready to quit their business. God is speaking. It's a matter of leaning in and hearing what he has to say to you individually.
It brings up a really interesting point. We're thinking about this idea that God wants to be involved in our business, but what about other people, you know? In the case of the story that we listened to, what he did was he actually took 51% of the ownership of his company, which means essentially whatever profit is being produced, 51% of that goes to this other entity. That other entity is run by somebody else, another human. So there was this submission that occurs. Now he's given like all this responsibility and authority to somebody else, I think to help to provide focus on charitable work and also for accountability purposes. And it takes a whole nother level. To what degree, I'm just asking the question, I don't have an answer, but to what degree does God being the owner of my business mean that I also have invited other people in for accountability purposes and for focus purposes and for, right? I just wonder how much of that is actually part of this whole thing about God owning and God and me being the steward. So I don't know. That's why we're processing this.
Yeah. I mean, we've processed a lot, Dave, the idea of solopreneurship and really trying to determine, is that just a lie? Is solopreneurship just a pretend thing that we like to say is a thing or that the world says is okay, but actually isn't really part of God's design? And not to villainize the many, many people listening to this that no doubt are solopreneurs. But I think it's challenging. Like, it's a challenging question to ask because people are hard and business partners, like when you combine faith and business together, it gets ultra complicated and the hurts and the betrayals get much deeper and more painful. And like, it's such a unique thing to work in business, but actually be working for the kingdom with other people. But it's also leveraged and powerful, and it helps you become a different person in the process. And yeah, I think it's a really good question, Dave, to be asking, what piece does community play in how we allow God to be owner of our business? I also don't have an answer, but
well, I mean, if we look at Ephesians 4, we see that it takes all of the gifts for there to be a full expression of Jesus, a maturing expression of Jesus. And so the question for a business is, if you want your business to be an outpost of heaven, a place where people experience something of God's reality, then how would you be able to do that by yourself, right? And that doesn't mean it has to be one particular ownership form, I don't think. I don't think that's the point of that video even. It's not the kind of ownership form. It's really about, what does that team look like? Honestly, like, the Lord's really been speaking to me about this thing a lot personally, just because I'm realizing that everything in the biblical record is all about how God did things with groups and communities, and he did it. He also did it slow. Jesus had to walk around with those disciples for 3 years. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So we have these periods of time, yet we're being conditioned to instant answers, instant solutions, you know. So anyway, I think it's worth chewing on. as we think about our own, the expression of God through us, how do we allow that to happen?
I'm curious. I also have been married and worked with my husband. Dave is married and has worked with his wife. And I always have people, when my husband and I used to work together in the same company, people would ask all the time, how can you work with your spouse? And I always had a different answer. And it worked pretty well for us, but the Lord called us into different things. And so now we just support each other's journey, but we're not working on the same projects. We're not working on the same company. So I'm just curious for you guys, what does that look like to be united in your home and be working on different entrepreneurial paths, but still be united coming to God and saying, this is all yours anyway? What does that look like for you guys?
Well, I would say first and foremost, one of the most important elements is having space between us. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about where God has positioned us right now. We relocated from Northern Virginia, which is a lot closer into DC, down an hour south in Fredericksburg, where today, for the same property value, you get a lot more space. And that was a huge difference maker for us. One of the unique things I believe that impresses me about what Maritza and her business partner have done through her branding agency is that they built it during COVID, during a time when everything was done remotely. So that human interaction, you really had to go out of your way to provide that in a two-dimensional format like the one we're in right now, right? So that is something that you need to tip your, I certainly tip my hat to them for doing that. Now they are uniquely gifted to trend, now that things have opened up dramatically and things are almost 100%, maybe even 105% back to normal, that the unique qualities that God has given to them both, I think, allows them to shine. Because not only can they do it on a digital platform like this one, but they can do it in person and dance circles around others. But as far as what makes our dynamic here in the home work, going back, space is one, but also being intentional about saying, okay, this is where work stops. This is where family life begins. And I think both Maritza and I would say family life is the most important part of our lives. It's the best reflection of God's relationship toward his creation. It's also the biggest target that the enemy has against God. If he can affect a home, he's got a big foothold into something that God is designed to flourish. So it's not perfect by any means. We're always working on our relationship and also working out the dynamics of in business. Things change every single day, every single hour, every single minute. We might have laid out the best plans, but something will torpedo it inevitably. And if we understand that going into each day, it makes each day that much more, I don't know, winnable would be the word that I would use. And I hope Maritza feels the same way.
I have definitely heard advice from pastors more than once to never have an office that you share with your spouse. Don't do that thing. So it's funny you said space between you, because
especially during the pandemic, one of the things that I truly love about my wife, and that I think going back to before there were businesses and all sorts of stuff going on, I remember when we were prior to getting married, our then pastor gave us our premarital counseling, and something that always stuck was opposites attract, but then opposites attack, right? And it made it easier when we were in a smaller space, especially during COVID, where everything was digital. Her office was, 10 feet from where I was trying to be more introspective and listen to my own easily distracted mind as I was trying to get some work done. And yeah, it was really tough, but looking back on that experience and I can even go on YouTube right now and look at videos that Maritza did when she was in a tight little corner of a bedroom that was the office, and she filmed some really strong conversations, powerful stuff that I'm like, wow, she really shined in that environment. But it goes back to what unique gifts God has put in her, those same unique gifts that attracted me at the outset as her husband, and now that I continue to admire as she pursues her vision for her business.
I don't know about you, Amy, or Dave, but iron sharpens iron. And we're very different. We're very different. Our approaches to things, we come at it from a different perspective. And through some hard lessons, we learned that working together requires a lot more work in how we communicate with each other, because I go into my work mode like instant. I don't think I ever turn it off, which is bad, because then it'll spill into parenting, into relationships, into personal spaces. And more than once, my husband has said, I am not your employee. I am your husband right now. So it has not been easy. It has not been easy. Partnerships from a marriage perspective, and while you're both trying to build something, sometimes together, sometimes apart, those things are not easy. And some people do it really, really well. And we had one thing that worked really, really well for us, and it was before we got married. And we did something that was entrepreneurial, and we were working toward it together. We gave it our all, and it helped pay for our entire wedding. So it was like we were true partners. We were very equal, and we were able to do that. But since then, it has definitely been a lot of friction. I am somebody who, like, let's go, let's do it, let's now. He's thoughtful. He's methodical. He's a planner. All these different things. I'm like, let's go. So those two things are in conflict with each other often. But I think one thing that I love about how Giovanni has supported my goals, my dreams, and the business is he has really stepped up in other areas and has filled those gaps from the home so that I can focus on the business and grow it and be successful there. And sometimes he believes in me more than I believe in myself. I have a lot of like self-doubt in some areas as I'm struggling because of the scorecard that I'm keeping that we talked about in one of our sessions where, well, is it a failure? Is it a success? Or is it a God glory thing? As a partner in crime and partner in life, having your spouse support you in other areas to take your mind off of those other responsibilities so that you can be successful in your business and how you're growing it, that has been a game changer, where I can rest assured that the kids are fine and the house is fine and that I can go and do some stuff on the business side. But there's also an ebb and flow. It's not 100%. I mean, it goes here, and then sometimes we're more focused over there, and sometimes this, we're all hands on deck here, and sometimes he pitches in, and sometimes I'm reviewing stuff for him. So it's a symbiotic, but also it's not a cookie cutter thing. Entrepreneurship has never been something like, here are the guidelines, here's a checklist, and here's how you work perfectly as a partnership.
So it brings up this whole thing about the messiness of being an entrepreneur, right? And so if we think about God being a co-creator, I want to ask the question, is God comfortable with messiness? Is God comfortable with the process? Is he comfortable with us in us making mistakes? And are we comfortable with other people making mistakes? Are we comfortable with ourselves making mistakes, right? So there's this messiness to the co-creation process. When your hand, and Amy likes to use the example of letting children color, but I think just hand your child a paintbrush on a canvas, and you do not expect the first canvas that they create to be a masterpiece, right? You don't expect that. You expect it to be pretty goofy. And one of the Amy's kids has always liked to, she likes to color the whole thing with lots of color so it all turns black, you know? So you never know what you're going to create. And so I do think that we have to get comfortable with God just like being, he doesn't care that we mess it up. He doesn't care that it doesn't look quite right, that the picture's lopsided. Now, he wants us to get better, and we want to get better, but I think we have to give ourselves and understand that he's in this knowing who he's partnering with. Like, he's not confused about the fact that we are going to make a mess. And I think I have to give myself the space for that too, you know?
That's a really good point. I think I use the coloring because it feels, as someone who's very structured and orderly, when your child colors something on a coloring page and it turns out weird, who cares? It's a coloring page. But as you were talking, I was thinking about teaching my kids how to do chores or how to do things that are actually do have sort of a right and wrong way to do them. And I've learned in the short time I've been a parent, just 6 years so far, I have gone from someone who really needed the chore to be done a specific way into someone who's kind of like, whatever, I get there. You know, I taught them to do the chore once, they're doing it in a weird way. Who cares? I don't care. And I do think that's sort of God's deal, right? He's like, there is a right and wrong way to do this. And I know for a fact you're going to do it wrong the first 10 times. And I'm fine with it because you're learning. So I'm just now having this realization that God is, even with things that do have a right and wrong way, which a lot of things don't, you know, a lot of things are actually very personal to the way we're made and our own ideas and that creative element. But things that even aren't creative, he's really fine with us messing up. So thanks for that, Dave.
I would also say that being uncomfortable with the messiness is definitely more an our thing versus a God thing, mainly because God's greatest creation came in the midst of lots of chaos. Like, he put all the chaos into order, created the earth that we know, that he placed it in our hands, right? And to be okay with things just going, and I struggle with this a lot because similar to you, Amy, I would love to be able to structure my day and have it all go according to plan, but that rarely, if ever, happens. But leaning into the one who knows how to turn chaos into order, if I do that, I know I'm going to be all right. And from a unique perspective that comes from a heavenly father and being now in a role as a father to two boys going on almost 16 years now with one, that relationship right there has given me more insight into what God sees in me. Like, similar to what you were saying about the coloring page turning all black, that result is not what I'm after in that exercise. Or if I'm doing something similar with my boys, it's more, hey, are we connecting? Are we having this relationship? Do you see how much I love you?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite books in the Bible, I've slacked off a little bit on doing it regularly, but the book of Proverbs, throughout Proverbs, God is chasing the heart, right? That it's a consistent message. He wants the heart. If you can gain the heart over everything else, you've won. And God is pursuing, you know, and to understand how do we co-create with God, going back to that illustration or the image that we have of the business owner who gives 51% or majority ownership stake in his business to a completely different entity. He does it not because necessarily he's trusting those people, but he knows that 100% of his heart belongs to God. And if there's that closeness to God in speaking and hearing what God said to give up majority ownership, you can trust that, right? Because at the end of the day, God has your back. As we're discussing this, I'm reminded that that's all God wants, the heart. That connectivity, to be able to listen to him, do what he says. If he says something, we do it, and it doesn't turn out, you can always say, well, it was your idea, right? So there's that. So I'm encouraged by this discussion because it's really opening up my ears and my head to thinking of the struggles that I allow to derail me at times to say, you know what, there's an answer to that.
So like in some ways, that means that like your business is actually a relationship laboratory. It's a playground in which you and God get to do some things together. It's really similar to what happened in Genesis, where God brought the animals and said, okay, what should we call it? You know? And Adam looks down and says, frog, you know, right? Kind of a caveman word, frog. So I think it's that kind of experience we have with God in which he wants to participate with us. But, you know, he does leave it to us to allow him to come in. I think a lot of entrepreneurs spend their entire business life without fellowship with God in that business, in the details of that business. And maybe they think about him at church or maybe when they say their prayers, quote unquote. But I think he wants to show up while you're at the copier.
Yeah, that is so good, a relationship laboratory. We got to keep that one around.
You got to coin that, Dave. Like, yeah. You have no idea. I just wrote it down. And I wouldn't even call it. I just call it the relationship lab. And I'm like, somebody's got to do something with it. You're copywriting that.
Yeah, we are.
I also love, Giovanni, you mentioned God being comfortable with the chaos. My husband likes to call himself a polemic theologian because he's always very interested in what parts of the Bible are actually just about disproving and setting the record straight against all the other kind of contemporary writings in other cultures of the time. And so the Genesis story is completely different than every other version of creation from every other culture at the time, which were all these entities were in the chaos and they were defeating the chaos, but they were part of the chaos. But in the Genesis story, God is above, he's hovering over the chaos and he creates order. And so I love just this idea that not only he's comfortable with it, but even more than that, he's so far above it. And he calls us right up there too. He calls us to come out of the chaos and say, no, we actually have authority over it. And we get to follow in the footsteps of our Father who has all authority over chaos to create order. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think as well, it's important to look at, if we look at it through the lens of God's plan of salvation for the earth, to have, since we're talking about business, being in the marketplace, believers leaning into God and trusting him that he can turn chaos into order, I think the marketplace can use a lot more people who are willing to see it as that, because in the process, whether it's a good or a service that we're providing, having people who trust God and say, Lord, this is inspired by you, this is owned by you, it's going to make a big difference in the world. The harvest is this, and this was something I was thinking this morning, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. God is calling entrepreneurs to say, yes, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to steward this to the best of my ability because I know that you have a plan for your creation because you're just like you drew me closer to your heart. That's what you want to do with the other people that I do business with or to whom I provide a service or mail or produce a good for them.
I was just going to add, it goes with what you're saying. Even though we're inept, even though we are limited, he does want to create beauty through us. He doesn't just want the coloring page all messed up. He does want to create the Sistine Chapel, and he wants to create beautiful brands, and he wants to create things that people see him in. And so that's part of the cool thing is that when we participate with him, we're upping our game kind of by, I don't know what the factor is. It's not 10X, it's eternal X. We're making our own abilities that much better because we're partnering with someone who is the creator.
Well, guys, this has been a really great conversation. I'm taking a lot away to keep processing. Very few answers, lots more questions. But that's the point, right? Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a blessing to fellowship with you, and I'm sure our many listeners really appreciate your insights.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And I think people are going to take some of your thoughts away, and I hope that they process them the way you guys are. So it's a great example of going deep.
Well, thanks so much for having us on the podcast and for guiding us through these conversations. They are, like you said, they spark more questions, more ideas. And the good news is that we have a God who's willing to answer them as long as we ask him.
And thank you also for opening up our creative juices, because co-creating with God is very exciting. It's a new world, and it allows for endless possibilities, and the eternal amplification of it is probably the most rewarding, to see how we did this with God. God used us. God used our business for his glory. Like, that's so exciting, because I feel like I kind of separated the two and saying, okay, God, you are part of my life, but in this part, I'm going to close the door and I shut you out of that. And this is exciting to just say, hey, you're coming to work with me because you're never leaving my side. And this is an empowering thing. This is a message of hope that I don't have to do this alone in my own efforts and by force, but it's actually with you. How exciting that you're interested in my business, that you're interested in my clients, that you're interested in me doing something for your glory and not just my financial benefit. It's been such a cool and rewarding thing so far, asking these questions and thinking of possibilities that I had not even entertained before. Thank you, guys.
Well,
thank
you.
That's so well
said. Yeah, it is.
We feel the same. All right, guys. We'll see you soon.